ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies Lord Nrisingadev with prayers. Text 19. Please repeat. Balasya Neha Sharanam Pitaro Nishinha Nartasya Chagadam Udanvati Majato Now Taptasya Tat Pratividir Ya Ihanjesastas Tavad Vibho Tanu Britam Tvad Upekshitanam. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrisingha.
Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrisingha.
Nartasya chagadam udanvati majjato nao. Taptasya tat pratividirya hiyan chashestas
Taptasya tat pratividirya hiyan chashestas
Tavad vibhotanubritam tvadupekshitanam
Tavad vibhotanubritam
Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrisingha
Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrisingha
Nartasya chagadam udanvati majjato nao
Nartasya chagadam udanvati majjato nao
Taptasya tat pratividir Ya ihanjaseshtas
Taptasya tat pratividir Ya ihanjaseshtas
Tavad vibho tanubritam Tadupekshitanam
Tavad vibho tanubritam Tadupekshitanam
Balasya neha sharanam pitarau nrisingha
Nartasya
chagadam udanvati majjato nao
Nartasya chagadam udanvati majjato nao
Taptasya tat pratividhetiha yahanjaseshtas
Taptasya tat pratividhetiha yahanjaseshtas
Tavad vibho tanubhritam tvadupekshitanam
Tavad vibho tanubhritam tvadupekshitanam Maharaj, anyone else? Mahasaneha sharanam pitaram nrisingha
Nartasya
chagadam
Ladies,
Balasya of a little child, na not
iha
in this world, sharanam shelter, protection, pitarau
the father and mother.
Nrisimha. O my Lord Nrisimhadev.
Neither.
Artasya. Of a person suffering from some disease. Cha.
Also.
Agadam,
medicine.
Udanvati,
in the water of the ocean.
Majata, of a person who is drowning. Now,
the boat.
Taptasya. Of a person suffering from a condition of material misery. Tat-pati-vidhi.
The counteraction.
Invented for stopping the suffering. Of material existence. That which,
in this material world,
anjasa,
very easily, ishta, accepted
as a remedy, tavat,
similarly.
Vibho,
O my Lord,
O Supreme.
Tanubritam,
of the living entities who have accepted material bodies,
Tvat upekshitanam,
who are neglected by you. And not accepted by you. Translation. O my Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Please repeat. My Lord Nrisimhadev.
My Lord Nrisimhadev.
O Supreme.
O Supreme.
Because of a bodily conception of life,
because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls,
neglected and not cared for by you,
neglected and not cared for by you,
cannot do anything for their betterment,
cannot do anything for their betterment.
Whatever remedies they accept,
whatever remedies they accept,
although perhaps temporarily beneficial,
although perhaps temporarily beneficial,
are certainly impermanent.
Are certainly impermanent.
For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child.
Cannot protect their child.
A physician and medicine. Cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean. Cannot protect a drowning man. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease, and through means of protection on the water, in the air and on land, there is always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world. But none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help them, including the parents. Ultimately, the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. This is guaranteed. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:31, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just one little interjection here. There is a verse, Krishna Mare Rake Te, Krishna Rake Mare Te. If someone is protected by Krishna, who can kill him? And if Krishna wants to kill someone, who can protect him? So that is the theme of this verse and purport, that ultimately we depend on the mercy of Krishna. So to continue, although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this material world, everyone is trying to counteract the onslaught of material nature. But everyone is ultimately fully controlled by material nature. Therefore, even though so-called philosophers and scientists try to surmount the onslaught of material nature, they have not been able to do so. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 13:9 that the real sufferings of the material world are four: janma, mritu, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In the history of the world, no one has been successful in conquering these miseries imposed by material nature. Praprite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha. Nature, prakriti, is so strong that no one can overcome her stringent laws. So-called scientists, philosophers, religionists, and politicians should therefore conclude that they cannot offer facilities to the people in general. They should make vigorous propaganda to awaken the populace and raise them to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Our humble attempt to propagate the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world is the only remedy that can bring about a peaceful and happy life. We can never be happy without the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Tvad upekshitana. If we keep displeasing our Supreme Father, we shall never be happy within this material world, in either the upper or lower planetary systems. Translation again. My Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So every living entity within the material world is forced to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer, but suffering is imposed upon them. And four basic sufferings are mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita: janma, mriti, jara, vyadi, birth, death, old age, and disease. In fact, janma, mriti, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam, the perception of the evils of birth, death, old age, and disease is part of the process of knowledge. So we should be aware of these miseries. We should not be in any illusion that this material body is a happy situation, or that this material world is a happy place. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Dukkhalayam ashashvatam," that this material world is a place of misery and is temporary. So we do, as a matter of routine duty, take help from doctors and medicine. But the success of the treatment ultimately depends on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya durakyaya mame viye prabhadyante mayam etam tarantite. That this material energy consisting of the three modes is very difficult to overcome, but one who surrenders to me, to Krishna, can easily overcome it. In the old Boston temple where I first met Srila Prabhupada and came to the Association of Devotees, we used to sing a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam every morning. Samasritaye pada palavam pavam mahat padam punyaya shomurari pavam budir vatsa padam param padam 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 yadvi padam natesham. The meaning is that this material world is like an ocean of misery, and there is danger at every step. But for one who takes shelter of the boat of the lotus feet of Krishna, who is known as the enemy of the Mura demon, that vast ocean shrinks and becomes just like a puddle of water in the hoof print of a calf. Although there's danger at every step, the devotee crosses right over it. He steps right over. So our real shelter, our real protection is the Lord. And if we really want to help people, we should direct them towards that guaranteed protection. Of course, if we're doctors, we will prescribe treatment. But the success of the treatment ultimately depends on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So we should always be endeavoring for and praying for the Lord's mercy. And if we are in a position, we can encourage our patients, or anyone, family members, friends, acquaintances, to take shelter of the Supreme Court as the only guaranteed protection in this material world. As Krishna tells Arjuna, Kaunteya Pratijanahi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. Declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The question could be raised, why did Krishna tell Arjuna to make the declaration? Why did he not make the declaration himself? The answer is that although Krishna is supremely truthful and competent to fulfill his promises, his ultimate quality is his, you can say, partiality to his devotees. Shishuradani Namadapa Kiva Shishitani Chandra Kiva Shigiriraj Govardhan Kiva. So although the Lord is impartial, he is partial toward his devotees, and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that that is not a dushanam, a fault, but that is a bhushanam, an ornament. So Krishna may make a promise, but for the sake of his devotee, he may break the promise. For example, during the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna promised not to take up any weapon. So during the fighting, Duryodhana, who was the leader of the other party against the Pandavas, he sort of taunted or challenged Bhishmadeva that because of his affection for the Pandavas, he was not fighting to his full capacity, which was definitely a challenge, bordering on an insult. So Bhishmadeva, you know, he manifested his Kshatriya spirit, and he vowed that in the next day's battle he would fight so ferociously that either he would kill Krishna's friend Arjuna, or he would force Krishna to break his promise not to take up weapons. And true to his vow, now Bhishmadeva fought very heroically, and Arjuna was actually in trouble, and to protect Arjuna, Krishna took up a broken chariot wheel as a weapon and rushed towards Bhishmadeva with that weapon. So in this pastime, Krishna protected Bhishmadeva's vow that he would either kill Arjuna or force Krishna to break his promise. And Krishna also, he protected he protected Bhishma's vow, he protected Arjuna, but in the course of it he broke his promise. So again, although Krishna is supremely truthful and competent to keep his word, he may break his word for the sake of his devotee. And therefore, he didn't make the declaration himself directly, but he told his devotee to make the declaration. Because Krishna will not allow the words of his devotees to go in vain. Even in this past time of Lord Nrisimhadeva's appearance, the Lord's devotee, Brahma, gave various boons to Hiranyakashipu. And the Lord honored those boons that were given by Brahma. He kept all the boons intact, but he still fulfilled his purpose of killing Hiranyakashipu, protecting Prahlad. So one example is the physician and medicine. Another example is a boat on the water. Perhaps the most famous example is the luxury liner, the Titanic, which was advertised as a boat that could not sink. And on its maiden voyage from England to America, so many wealthy and aristocratic people were on the boat. And unfortunately, it struck an iceberg, which opened up a big gash in the hull of the ship, and water was flowing in, and the boat sank, and almost everyone drowned. A few escaped on lifeboats, but almost all drowned. So a boat on water is no guarantee of protection from drowning. A physician in medicine is no guarantee for relief for a suffering patient. And the care of a mother and father are no guarantee that their child will not suffer. Once I was sitting with Srila Prabhupada in his room in Juhu, and in the distance, Srila Prabhupada heard a child crying, and he quoted this verse. Srila Prabhupada was so philosophical and so absorbed in the Shastra that he related almost every situation in life to some philosophical principle in the Shastra. So he heard this child crying in the distance, and he quoted this verse that even the parents' care cannot protect their child from suffering. So all these examples are meant to illustrate the basic principle that only, the only guaranteed protection is that of the Lord, and therefore we should take shelter of Him. And if we want to do good for people, we should, you know, urge them, encourage them, convince them that they should also take shelter of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, you know, that's what the scientists, philosophers, and politicians should do if they really want to help people. And as he says, in all humility and truthfulness, that is what the Krishna Consciousness Movement is doing. And as members of the movement, we should also do that. I'll conclude with one story. Again, it illustrates Srila Prabhupada's conviction. But I was in Madras, and in Madras, there are a lot of Mayavadis who thought that they were superior. And then there were Shaivites and Vaishnavites, and they would have their debates. But the Mayavadis thought, oh, this is so childish. Arguing Krishna is supreme, Shiva is supreme. So, I was preaching, as I heard Srila Prabhupada preach, but there was an undercurrent of protest to the way I was preaching, and even good friends advised me, just say positively what you want to say about Krishna consciousness, but don't criticize others. So, I listened, but I wasn't convinced. And then there was, I met an industrialist whose factory and office were in the same compound as his residence. So I don't want to keep you hanging at this very suspenseful moment, but I will have to ask you to chant a little more japa, and I will do something and come back. Excuse me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I was in Madras and preaching, as I heard Srila Prabhupada preach. But there was an undercurrent of protest against what I was saying. And even good friends were advising me, don't criticize others, just say what you want about your process, but don't criticize others. And I was hearing it again and again on all sides. And finally I thought, maybe Krishna is trying to tell me something. So I decided I'm not going to criticize. So I went to meet the industrialist who I mentioned and make him a life member. If Srila Prabhupada said, if you just pile my books on their desk, they'll become life members. So I showed him pictures of our activities, and showed him Bhaktivedanta magazine, showed him the books, and handed him the life membership form and asked him to become a life member. So he said, well, what about Shankaracharya? You've said so many things, but you haven't said anything about Shankaracharya. So, you know, not wanting to criticize, not wanting to get into an argument, I said, yes, he's also one of the famous acharyas of India. But he kept probing. He kept, you know, insisting. Well, what about him? You know, what do you have to say about him? So finally, it all came out, you know, that he was a like an incarnation of Lord Shiva, who came to bewilder the atheists by preaching a false doctrine. And we didn't have Chaitanya Charitamrita back then, but we had the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. We took out the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and read about, you know, Shankaracharya. And that he preached a veiled type of Buddhism, which was, you know, atheism, and ultimately, you know, the error in his ways was corrected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I figured, well, that's the end of that. So, you know, I took the books and the back to God I had in pictures, I put them in my briefcase, and was ready to leave. So the man said, well, before you leave, I want you to see my temple room. So I thought, oh boy, he's going to have a Shiva Linga. And if I don't bow down, he's going to take offense and think I'm ignorant or sectarian. So I looked him in the eye, like, do I really have to do this? And he looked me in the eye, yes. So we walked over to his house, and he led me to his temple room. It was like quite big, you know, for a home temple room, and it was all white marble. The floor and the walls and the altar. And on the altar were Radha and Krishna, which I was really happy about, because there was no, even the Vaishnav temples in Madras, they're all Vishnu. And at most, there's one Parthasarathi temple, which is just Krishna with a mustache. So I was like so happy to see Radha and Krishna. So I looked at the man, like, you know, what is this? And he said, myself and my parents and my ancestors for generations have all been devotees of Radha and Krishna. And he said, I was just testing you. And you didn't compromise, and I'm very pleased, and I will be happy to become your life member. So we went back out to his office and, you know, filled in the form, took the books, paid the whole amount, and one installment. So then I thought, well, maybe what I'm doing isn't wrong. But I still wasn't completely sure, because so many people were telling me the same thing. You know, don't criticize others, just state positively what you want about what you do. And I got back to my room, and there was a letter from Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, any letter from Srila Prabhupada was a great occasion. But this particular, because I had written him about the challenges I was facing in preaching in Madras. And I opened the letter, and it, like, the words jumped off the page. And he said, my Guru Maharaj never compromised in his preaching, and I never compromise in my preaching, and similarly, none of my disciples should ever compromise in their preaching. He said, we must declare it boldly that unless people are prepared to accept Krishna as the Supreme Godhead and surrender fully unto Him, they should not foolishly dream of peace and happiness. And that's really what this verse of purport are saying, that, you know, without surrendering to the Supreme Lord, we cannot accept anything good. So, Srila Prabhupada was a real acharya, taught by example. But we also have to obviously be intelligent enough to apply his preaching with discrimination according to time, place, and circumstance. After serving in India for 3 years, I got quite sick, and eventually Srila Prabhupada said that as long as I stay in India, I won't be able to recover. So I went back to America, spent a little while in Chicago, and then when I was well enough, I went to Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, Srila Prabhupada was meeting with, sort of Damodar and scientists, and he would use terms like, you know, fool, rascal, kick them in the face with boots. So I was listening to this, and then, you know, gradually I recovered, and I was getting ready to go back to India. And so I said to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, I hear you use these words like, you know, fool, rascal, kick them on the face with boots to the scientists. You know, is this the way we should preach? And Srila Prabhupada got such an alarmed expression on his face. And he said, no, you should speak like a gentleman. So he would speak like that to us about the scientists to, you know, make our faith strong. But that's not how he would speak to a scientist, nor did he want us to. So, yeah, we should, in general, without compromising, preach in such a way that people are attracted. And just maybe one last incident from Madras, because it was like so instructive. So as I was meeting people, many would say, "Oh, you have to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's very pious. He'll like you." So, yeah, great. I'd be happy to meet him. So I made an appointment with him, and anyway, he was a Shaivite, and without going into the details, he got very agitated with my saying that Krishna was the Supreme, and I got agitated, and he literally became red in the face. I don't know if I became red in the face, but it ended up being very tense. And, you know, the meeting ended on a pretty discordant note. So, again, I was going around meeting people. I thought, "Oh, you have to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's very pious. He'll really like you." And probably he was also hearing it. "Oh, you have to meet the Hare Krishna devotee. You know, you'll really like what they're doing." So I thought, okay, I'll give it another try. And this time I'll make an effort not to, you know, get into an argument. So I phoned him. He willingly gave me an appointment. And the conversation went in the same direction. But before it got out of control, you know, and Krishna gave me the intelligence, and I said, "You know, I'm just a student. I think the real thing is that when my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, comes to Madras, you should meet him and discuss with him." So that was great. You know, we avoided another explosive encounter, plus he had the chance to meet Srila Prabhupada. So when Srila Prabhupada came, I arranged for Mr. Ramakrishna to come and meet him. And Mr. Ramakrishna said, "You know, your Giriraj and I have been discussing, who is Supreme, Krishna or Shiva." And Srila Prabhupada took a completely different approach. He didn't even enter into that controversy about who was Supreme. And he said there are two words, bhakti and puja. In bhakti, one serves for the sake of giving pleasure to the deity without any expectation of return. And in puja, one worships the deity with some expectation or hope of return. So he said that generally Krishna is worshipped in the mood of bhakti, whereas Shiva is worshipped in the mood of puja, with the desire to get some return. And that was something that Mr. Ramakrishna could not contest. It was just true. And it was none of that polemic about who is supreme. And he said, "Well, isn't it possible that someone can worship Shiva without wanting something in return?" And Srila Prabhupada conceded, "Yes, it is possible, but it's very rare. Just like someone might go into a liquor shop for some purpose other than drinking. But it's very rare. Generally, if someone goes into a liquor shop, we understand that they're going to drink. So anyway, he was charmed by Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada answered so intelligently and expertly that without entering the controversy of who was supreme, he established the supremacy of the worship of Krishna through bhakti. And Mr. Ramakrishna was happy. Everyone was happy in the end. So, Hare Krishna. Well, are there any questions or comments? Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, sir. I've been there. I think it's a coincidence that you brought up this Padam Padam Yadripadam, because the last time you were here, you gave a class on Padam Padam Yadripadam. So I'm trying to ask a question on all the three verses that you spoke on in your recent lessons. Padam Padam Yadripadam, yesterday you gave a class on Ayum Karati Vaimoksham, and today's verse on Balasya Neha Sharanam. So if I take all the three verses literally, like yesterday's verse, for example, it says that the sun rising and setting of the sun decreases the lifetime of the Lord devotees. So if you take it literally, does it mean that for devotees their time stands still, or they don't die young, or their lifetime increases? And likewise, Padam Padam Yadripadam, does it mean that the devotees inhabit a different world where the books don't apply? So how to understand this? Does the world change for the devotees as compared to the non-devotees?
That's a very good question. Of course, it is true that Krishna is all powerful and he can change the destiny of a devotee. In fact, our Sarvabhauma Prabhu, I don't know if he's still here, he was here. So our Sarvabhauma Prabhu compiled a book or a series called TKG Memories. And in that book, he highlighted a quality of Srila Gurudev, Tamal Krishna Goswami, of wanting to be the conveyor of good news to the devotees. And in that category, Srila Prabhupada had told Tamal Krishna Goswami that Krishna wants us, wants his devotees or aspiring devotees, to go back to Godhead in this lifetime. And that if at the end of the ordinary duration of life of the devotee, he's not yet ready to go back to Godhead, Krishna can extend his lifetime until he is ready to go back to Godhead at the end of this life. So Krishna can do that. But otherwise, the general meaning is that, if you surrender to Krishna, you go back to Godhead. So, padam padam yadri padam yatrisham. That there's anger at every step that the devotee crosses right over it. I mean, that's like Krishna and Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I mean, there's danger everywhere. But Arjuna, you know, the Pandavas were able to cross over all of those dangers by Krishna's mercy. So, it may, I mean, in many cases, it's like that, the Krishna protects the devotee from material dangers. I mean, I was told when I first joined the Boston Temple, if there's danger, just sing the Nrisinga prayers. And I don't know, I was on a bus, very early after I joined in Boston, I was on a bus, and there's some sort of rowdy and aggressive people on the bus, and people, we were very new then, people didn't know what to make of us, or they didn't like the way we looked, or whatever. So when I got off the bus, these two sort of strong, rowdy characters were following me. And so I just did what the devotee said. I sang the Nrisinga prayers, and they just went away. So, yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't mean that we won't face adversity. And in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada says that in the course of preaching, a devotee is ready to face all kinds of dangers. And he may even give up his life. But all of these are taken as great austerities on behalf of the Lord. It can happen. But generally, you know, Krishna does protect the devotee both spiritually and materially. That's a good question. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Sarvabhauma Prabhu.
Within this kind of seeking some senior devotees that preach differently, some have success in not criticizing so much, others have another type of success in pointing out discrepancies or boldly. And it seems that there's some amount of realization that would be required if one is more critical. Like, I mean, I've heard that Prabhupada was so loving that he could criticize some of the scientists, the scholars, even in their presence, and they would afterwards say, well, they have some energy. But that some devotees, if they try to imitate, that wouldn't work. Can you comment on that?
Yes. Yeah, you're saying that the devotee should preach according to his realization and not imitate? Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, Srila Prabhupada was not only a self-realized soul who had love for Krishna, but he was an elderly person, because some of us are becoming elderly, but he was more elderly. And they're certainly very knowledgeable. And but he said a few things about criticizing. One was, this was in Vrindavan, he was like really criticizing the local people for drinking tea and whatnot. And Srila Prabhupada said that you know, that when I criticize them, they they like it. But you might not be able to do the same thing. And in another occasion, he said, there's a great art to criticizing. And then he turned to us, he said, unfortunately, you do not know that art. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't really remember any time when he criticized someone that the person... Well, there was one occasion. I was going to say there was no occasion when a person really got offended. But there might have been one occasion. It was very interesting. My godbrother, Petit Udaran Das, told me this. That this was in the old quarters Sri Prabhupada had in Juhu. And so Petit Udaran was climbing up the stairs, and a man came down, really flushed and, you know, red in the face and very angry, and he's bounding down the stairs. And Petit Udaran got to the top of the stairs, and he looked into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada had his head in his hands, and he was saying, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I just can't criticize Ramakrishna like that anymore. So I think that's the only time that I'm aware of. But the other times Prabhupada would criticize him, people became attached to him. Yeah, there was this one meeting, Gita Prachar Conference in Wardha, and he was criticizing anything, you know. You have to present Bhagavad Gita as it is, and so many things. But that was the main point, and the people loved it. And that was the general case. And for a while it looked like Prabhupada might not be able to make it to that conference. So he was suggesting that that Gopal Krishna Maharaj and I go in his stead. And he was saying that, you know, we have to just emphasize that they have to present Bhagavad Gita as it is. And people cannot use the name of Bhagavad Gita to present their own philosophies. And he gave the example that a man is smoking ganja or hashish, but he's not holding the pipe. A friend is holding the pipe. So when the police come and say, you know, you're smoking hashish, he says, no, my hands are clean. So basically what he was saying is that their philosophies are like the hashish. But they're saying, I'm not saying, you know, my hands are clean, Krishna's saying. And Prabhupada said that a lot. I'm not saying Krishna's saying, but he was actually repeating what Krishna was saying. So, but yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing how he criticized them and how they... I mean, there was a little reaction, but overall they really loved it. And of course, you know, that he was preaching Bhagavad Gita as it was all over the world. People were accepting it as it is all over the world. And the leaders of that conference, they really became very strong supporters of Srila Prabhupada at the end. They took us around to Make Life members. And then, yeah, they wanted to have another conference. And then, and like, I guess to honor Srila Prabhupada, they wanted to hold it at the Krishna Balaram Temple in Vrindavan. So, yeah, it was quite, I guess it also shows their sincerity too, but basically you could really criticize them very strongly and they would end up being more attached to Srila Prabhupada. But I guess, you know, you can tell by the result. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, how do we know if a plan is good or not? Srila Prabhupada said, well, if it works, you know it was good. So I guess that would apply to our preaching approach too. All right, well, thank you for listening so patiently and attentively and asking such good questions. And I wish you a wonderful Krishna conscious rest of the day and week and month and year and lifetime. Hare Krishna. Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai.